Thanks for calling Toyota. This is Jan.
I just adopted a new best friend, and I'm looking for a Toyota so we can make the most out of summer.
With a new RAV4, you can take your pup for a drive up the coast. You can take a Prius to the park, or you can take a Tundra to kayak at a remote lake.
One problem, Jan.
Oh?
My new best friend's a cat.
Your summer starts here, but it all ends June 3rd. Toyota, let's go places. Dealer inventory may vary. See your participating Toyota dealer for details.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome into the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Use code DNVR when you sign up for a new account to get amazing odds boosts every single day. Rudo, AJ, Megan coming to you live on a Thursday, the day before the Finland Global Series gets underway, sort of. I mean, I guess they're already out there doing stuff, but, you know, not important. As we want to wait a little bit, we'll get into the main topic of the day. We're going to be guessing players off of statistics. Going to be a fun one. We're going to use some polls in the chat, so get your voting fingers ready. But before we get into that, AJ demanded that we all come up with call signs for
that
each other.
It's not how this went.
It kind of is.
I was so how this went is I was showing Rudo the video. Somebody put Charles Leclerc's Sunset Lap in Austin to the Top Gun theme song, and it's perfect and the most incredible thing I've ever seen. And Megan had the question that broke my brain of what would your Top Gun call sign be? And somehow Yahir's never seen Top Gun. Either of them?
I barely found out Tom Cruise was Top Gun like last year. Like, I had no idea.
AJ big mad about this.
Wow. That's kind of unfathomable to me. Knowing that like Top Gun has been like culturally relevant my entire life. Huh. Okay.
I think the first one's overrated, but
in what way?
We're
talking about this.
I mean, I didn't see it until I was older, so it was just a little bit dated.
Okay.
And I didn't nothing in it surprised me. Like, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen it, Goose dying was like the least surprising thing ever to me.
Okay.
It just wasn't great.
Okay. Well, it's not, I don't know that it's supposed to be surprising. It's supposed to be emotional.
It wasn't that emotional either. I was like, I bet that guy's going to die 2 minutes into this movie. And then he died. Like,
hardly 2 minutes into the movie.
Yeah.
You'd met his family. He sent great balls of fire.
I need some shock value to get some emotion, I guess. I don't know.
And the way that he died after they were ejecting and he hits the camera.
Yeah.
And then he dies in his arms like that in the water.
Didn't sell it for me.
Oh my God, you're a fucking
monster. I'm heartless, I guess. I don't know.
Just a monster.
And then the ending where it's like him and his rival are like buddies now. Nah.
They're not buddies. It's respect.
Yeah, they should have stayed mad at each other.
I think this is bothering Megan more than it's bothering me.
It inspired several call signs for Rudo. Monster. Green screen.
I'm totally cool calling Rudo monster at this point.
It's better than Jorts, Jesus.
But AJ, I'm still stuck on yours. I have to think on it a second.
Unbelievable, man. I like Papa Bear. I'll go with that.
I like Papa Bear.
Megan's
too.
Getting Grasshopper for sure.
So what's a chupacabra? I think that's so funny.
That's so specific.
No, I was just
yeah,
so
Rudo
good.
Is not about coming to a place of respect.
Hold a
rivals.
Grudge, all right? Stay mad.
You gotta keep
Phoenix
the anger.
Phoenix is really nice. Rise above the ashes. I love it.
I don't want to have to die, though.
What about, like, a past version of you dies?
I mean, that happens every day.
Which is very Phoenix-like.
So then we're all phoenixes. Phoenixes? Pheni?
No.
I'm going to go with phoenixes on that one.
I think so, too.
I don't know. I don't know about a good one for AJ. I'm not going with Phoenix. I don't believe. Anyway.
Yeah.
I don't want to keep us on this topic for too long.
I will say, the original Top Gun does have some messed up moments in it. It blows me away. First of all, beach volleyball in jeans.
Oh, yeah.
What the hell? What the hell? Not okay. Then he's like, oh, I'm going to be late for his date with the cool teacher lady.
Yeah, the mom lady. Got it.
And so he like rolls in and then he shows up to her house, presumably the first time he's been there. And he walks in and he's like,
I need a shower.
I'm going to take a shower.
What?
Who does this?
Weirdo behavior. I was like, I would never see this person again.
His call sign should have been red flag because that's all it is. All of his behavior is red flag.
Police.
Like, my God, dude. His behavior in that movie was so weird. It was way more, it was way more on Earth in the second movie, which I thought was overrated. I thought people, because I took a very long time to see it, and I thought people went, like, way over the top.
Kale loved it.
I thought people went way over the top in like, how good they thought it was. Because I was watching it, and I was like, this is good. I like this. And then, you know, I watched all of it. It got to the end, and I was like, that was a good popcorn flick. I like that. I didn't think it was incredible, though. I don't know.
All right.
Anyway, that's our Top Gun talk for the day.
Let's buzz the tower and get into the actual show here.
Nice.
I'm just going to think about call signs all day. So if I just start tweeting out random words at night, that's me road testing call signs that I like.
Okay. Getting into the actual topic of the day, we have four or five different
five.
Comparisons. Comparisons is the word I will use.
Yeah, so it's going to be like a little bit of a game of guess who and stuff, but it's more like the point that we're going to be trying to make here. October is a throne of lies. The entire month is just, it is designed to lie to you. And I don't want people to take, you know, I've got people who are tweeting at me and they're like, Alex Newhook has no value in the league. They couldn't trade him for anything right now. And it's like, really? I mean, I'm not saying that he would fetch like a monstrous return, but I think that based on nine games, that's probably
aggressive,
probably
to say the least,
to go
yeah,
in the other direction
yeah.
for me. So you know, Alex Newhook was kind of like the genesis of this idea to do this today, but
there are some interesting ones beyond just that. So,
yeah. And I just think that when you get like too much is being made of October right now,
of course,
and that's like, of course you're in the moment that you're in and people lean into that and they're like, oh, well, okay. You know, this is all we have to go off of. So of course this is what we're talking about, but too much of it gets made into the, you know, I also think that too many people are excusing poor play from them because they went 4-5-1 last year and then played 900 hockey for three straight months.
It's somewhere in the middle, of course.
Like, they won like something like 17 of their next 20 games after the 4-5-1 start and then went into January where they only lost one game in overtime. So, like, comparing this year and last year, it might be a fun comparison to make you feel better for right now, but it's going to not continue, like, really quickly, unless you think the Avs are about to rip off that level of hockey, which I don't. I think it gets better, but I don't think they're going to play it seriously an 850 level.
I also don't think they need to play it at an 850 level.
They don't. Last year, I mean, they put the foot to the floor and never let up until the last 10 games of the season. So anyway, it's really just a, It's really just an exercise to say, look, slow starts are a natural thing. Like,
also, fast starts come from unexpected places sometimes. Yeah, that and, won't continue.
And like, it's funny because when a guy has a slow start, people give up on him. But when a guy has a fast start, people don't believe in him.
Yep.
So
you can never win.
And we're going to make that point with some of the comparisons that we're about to make.
Yep.
So just wanted to like lead this in before we just start randomly going.
We also get to put Megan on the spot because AJ and I know all the players that we put into this thing. True. Megan does not. So it's going to be a fun one.
I put combinations of the ones that we looked at last night. Yeah. So
should be fun. Okay. Yahir, bring up one of them, I guess. Okay. We're starting with the goalie one.
Yeah.
And Yahir will put a poll up in the chat for all of the live listeners who can vote on which goalie they want. Players A, B, and C. A and B both with similar save percentages.
These save percentages, these numbers are 5v5, by the way.
They are 5v5.
They are not overall numbers. They are 5v5 specific.
Player B with the highest goals saved above average. Player C the lowest. Game totals. Well, you can read them on the screen if you're here listening live.
Yeah, I mean, I think looking at these, the main takeaway is that really all three of these guys are off to good starts.
Yep.
There isn't one guy on here where you're like, I don't want that guy.
Who would want him?
Yeah.
So.
Do we have the poll in?
Yeah, it's in there.
Great.
While the poll is going, Megan.
You got to vote on a player, which one that you would prefer.
Vote on player A, B, or C while Megan tries to decipher who at least one of these players is.
Oh, wow.
I also, when he sent me these last night, I struggled.
This was probably the one you struggled the most with. Yeah.
Interesting.
It was funny because the guys that I guessed ended up being the ones that were all around in the stats, and I just missed. Yeah, you have to try and pick which player you prefer based purely on the numbers.
You're also welcome to guess who you think they are in the chat. Help Megan out a little bit, but please don't cheat. Don't be that guy.
Yeah, if you start just looking this up and firing off answers,
that's a block.
Like, what do you get out of that?
It'll ruin the fun.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm really thinking too hard on this. I think.
Keep in mind the goalie numbers are at.
Give him some time to choose.
5v5.
Five v five does make this a little deceiving.
Interesting.
Yeah, player C's the goal saved above average. The goals against average is good, but the goal saved above average, not having a very tough job at 5v5 so far.
Yep. Compared to the other two, especially.
Right, the other two really jump off the page, but this is meant to be deceptive.
Hey.
Oh, sorry.
She's trying to read.
Yeah, she's really getting in there. It's like me reading super chats. I don't think a single person in chat has said a correct name yet.
We have only had wrong answers. This has been wrong only, answers
wrong
only.
Wrong answers only.
Still wrong answers only.
Is one of them Bobrovsky?
Nope.
Okay, just checking.
Where are the poll numbers?
Is anyone Swayman?
Yeah, tell
that's
us.
What I'm asking.
It is not Swayman.
Okay.
Player A has 26%, player B has 52%, player C has 23%.
So player B in a pretty significant lead.
Okay.
Is one Logan Thompson?
No.
Okay.
That's what I thought. That was my guess. That was my guess.
All right.
Also a bunch of these guys too.
Let me know when you guys want me to end the poll.
There has been one correct name said so far.
Yep.
Is there... No, there's just no way.
Wow, I actually, this is very validating. Because
no one can get this
normally,
right.
Normally chat hovers around the right answer and then eventually is like, oh, it's definitely
Hones
that
it
guy.
In.
And right now chat is doing a terrible job.
By the way, I worked really hard on these all.
Good work, yeah. We're going to get some value out of them.
Yeah.
All right, Megan, one more guess, and then we'll show them.
All right.
Uh,
What's the young goalie in Florida?
Spencer Knight?
Spencer Knight.
Also wrong.
Yeah. Okay. All right. That's my final.
Show us the three. Yeah. Guess. Yeah.
Yeah. What's the, where do we finish with the poll?
If V was in the big lead, right? So A and C pretty close, and then B with the
B, the strong preference. Yep.
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 Georgiev, Hellebuck, and Shesterkin in that order.
Yep.
The 5v5 definitely makes that interesting.
Yeah.
Over 50% going with Hellebuck there.
Yeah. Which he is off to such a great start. I mean, you're seeing it. But he's off to such a great start. He's like the biggest reason that the Jets have won any games at this point.
You're watching the Jets get shelled night after night.
Yeah.
And Hellebuck keep him in games.
So. Yeah. And well, that Vegas game last week was a wonderful example where shots on goal were like 30-8 through two periods.
Yep.
Like Aiden Hill was like barely conscious.
Yeah. Well, and you saw Shesterkin actually having so far a pretty easy workload in New York, who have been pretty dominant when it comes to possession. So,
which is the opposite.
Yep.
It's last year. So
that's awesome for the Jets.
Well,
in general,
it goes to show you that Colorado definitely getting a good early return. Alexander Georgiev going toe to toe with Connor Hellebuck and Igor Shesterkin blindly. More people just chose Georgiev over Igor Shesterkin.
Yep.
And I think, too, in talking about the comparisons of the starts from last year and how there are some areas where the comparisons just end, I think goaltending starting with Darcy Kuemper last year was a bit shakier, and we've seen, and it's only been 9 games, a pretty good showing of Georgiev so far to start.
I mean, I don't think Kuemper made it to 5 goals saved above average until, like, March.
When
so, and then he
came alive.
Then
he had, it was like, a dominant 3 months.
Yeah,
but Georgiev definitely starting strong there.
For me, I think that's the hardest one.
Yeah, I think so. That's the hardest. I think the skaters are significantly easier.
I think people will probably get the skaters, but
I think there's some of them that'll be tough. But I think most, in every comparison, I think everyone will get at least one guy.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
All right. On that note, we are brought to you by Pins and Aces because, you know, depending on how badly you start, people are saying you should hit the golf course. So jump on it. Head over to pinsandaces.com today. Use code DNVR to get 15% off your purchase. They have all the golf apparel you could ever need, from hats to cleats. Of course, shirts and pants in there, too. Those are also apparel. But they also have their beer sleeve, which goes right in your golf bag. 7 beers it holds. You can take it right onto the golf course. It's great stuff. I don't know if y'all have ever golfed before, but if you have, you know it's better with a beer or two in you. So go check it out today. Pinsandaces.com. Also brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook, the number one rated sportsbook app out there. You can go over there and bet on whatever you like, but if you bet $5 with a new account using the code DNVR on any NBA team to win their next game, when they do, you get $200 in free bets, which you can then turn around and bet on whatever you want. We were talking about it a little bit earlier. Probably get pretty good odds on Erik Karlsson to win the Norris. Playing pretty well right now. Just throwing it out there. Bunch of other bets you can make, too. Maybe you like Hellebuck to win the Vezina, even though he's not even at the top. Right now, it'd be Carter Hart, I guess, would be the guy you'd bet on there. But
I don't even know.
It'd be tough.
There have been some great goalie starts. I guess Carter Hart, just because the Flyers actually are still bad, and he's the main reason why that they are where they are.
Didn't include him in the graphic because he had a 960 at 5v5.
Yeah. Well, and we were talking about it last night. High danger chances.
52 of 53.
Yeah, Carter Hart has stopped 52 of 53 high danger chances, and goaltenders who have about a 900 save percentage on high danger chances are considered doing very well. Carter Hart's is a 981. So when you talk about regression, that's where it's coming from.
Head over to DraftKings today. Use the DNVR code. Must be 21 or older. Colorado only. Other terms, restrictions, and conditions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Of course, if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. What?
Nothing.
Yeah. What's he out here giggling about?
Nothing.
Okay. Anyway, second period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook.
It's a cold day today.
Yeah, it is kind of chilly today.
It's supposed to snow this afternoon.
P.S. New DNVR hoodies. Get them while they're hot. What's our next comparison? Red pill versus blue pill. Okay. So, who would you choose between these two players? On the blue side, you have a player with 9 games played, 2 assists, 2 points, and a 46% Corsi. On the right side, you have 9 games played, 2 goals, 3 assists, 5 points, plus 3, and a 50.51% Corsi. Yahir will be making the poll, so you can vote on it in chat, and we'll let Megan try not to fry her brain figuring out who these two players
are. We'll tell you off the top, they are both defensemen.
Wow.
There we go. It's back up. Perfect.
Chat off to a hot start saying a bunch of forwards.
Yeah. That's why I wanted to tell them that they were defensemen.
So I remember we were talking about Mo and Bo. Is it Mo and Bo?
It's Mo and
it's
Bo.
It's Mo and Bo.
Yeah. So.
Wow, that's Bo?
On the right side, yeah.
It has to be, because I know he had at least that goal, that first opening goal.
Yep. A pretty.
Probably went a little too quickly on that one.
Yeah, the poll's gonna get ruined, but that's fine.
Yeah.
Megan was too on it.
Yeah, Megan got it right away.
coming into the year, you know, I had said that.
Yeah.
People were going to talk about Bo Byron by the end of the year, how they were talking about Moritz Seider coming into the season.
As a Norris candidate type of guy.
Exactly, as that kind of guy. Well, and there were a lot of people that did not like Mo Seider being given top 50 player status after one season, essentially. Yep. A lot of, oh, it's too soon for that, it's too soon for that. And look, his numbers last year were great, but the success that Detroit has had to start this year, which has been modest, not overwhelming, but decent, modest, and sophomore slump looks like he has smashed into it. For the record, Lucas Raymond, same thing.
Oh, yeah.
It's
really bad for
him. He had no goals until last weekend. He had a 2-goal game, but until that point, Lucas Raymond had 2 assists. So you're talking about a couple of young guys in Detroit that are off to really tough starts. In big roles, like Lucas Raymond and Mo Seider are guys that they really need to have good years there for them to be successful.
It really puts into perspective, too, the start that Bo is having. I think we've had criticisms of him at points, but seeing that is actually not bad, even his possession numbers.
I put him up next to Miro Heiskanen as well, just as a curiosity.
Yeah, I did that, too.
And Bo fared just fine
pretty well.
As well.
That's great to see.
And you consider that Byram is their third-ish best defenseman. I mean, I would say pretty clearly third. I think he's past Sam Girard.
Taves Makar.
He has not gone past Devon Taves.
Not yet.
But he has played on that top pairing more than, like, certainly more than I expected coming into the start of the season. Just because even with Taves healthy, Byram has still played
over 20 minutes a game. Yeah.
Well, and he's still played next to Cale Makar in top situations pretty frequently.
Well,
so
I really do think it's important for the Avs fan base, especially, to take that reality check on the defenseman, because the Avs are living in an era where the bar is absolute greatness for the defense.
Well, look at the way that people talk about Sam Girard.
Yep.
A completely reliable, steady, totally fine.
There are 31 other teams in the league that would play them on it, that would play him on their second pair.
A good solid second pairing defender. A couple years ago, the results started to make us think, hey, maybe there's more. Maybe this is like a top 30 defenseman, maybe a top 20 defenseman. And I think it's come down from there.
It's more like top 60.
Yeah. And where you're still saying, oh, he's a top 60 defenseman. Well, there are 32 NHL teams.
Yep.
That puts him on somebody's top pairing.
Yep.
If they were distributed evenly like that. So he might be at the lower end of a top pairing guy, and then the higher end of a second pairing guy. But like Gerard is a really good, solid, reliable player. But Avs fans talk about him like he's a bum. And certainly not all Avs fans, but
there's a contingent.
Yeah. The ones who come into our chat and suggest that they trade him on a regular basis. And that's not always about Gerard. I understand that some of that is about just balancing the roster and money and contracts and stuff like that. But with Gerard, I think it's a good point that you make, that we've gotten very spoiled in Colorado. Cale Makar gets drafted, shows up into the NHL, and is just super
God
good.
God mode immediately.
He's just super good. That's how it worked. They trade for Devon Taves, this guy that a lot of Avs fans had never heard of before the moment he got traded for. He shows up. And he's super good. He's just a top pairing player in Colorado. Poof, two top pairing defensemen. After Rob Blake leaves, you have no legitimate top pairing defender in Colorado. Until Eric Johnson,
and even he's really a number two. Yeah,
and that did not last long. Yep. Like that portion of his career where he was a really good, like a fine number one. Did not last super long, but the Avs went such a long time, and then, bam, two top pairing, legit top 10 defensemen are just on their top pairing,
followed
and
by
then,
two genuine second pairing guys.
And then you have Bowen Byram, who
is on the ascent.
Yeah, like every time that he's healthy enough and plays, he's really good. And then the health issues were, you know, everybody last year at this time was like, we'll never play again. And we've seen he's been good.
While the camera blacked out on us,
dude,
I can, if my call sign is Mayo, I get to be Cale Makar's wingman and his call sign gets to be chicken. All right. Can we all agree to that at least?
Cale Makar is chicken.
Then it's Mayo Chicken is the call signs together. Come on.
No.
Give me this one.
No. Also, Mayo is the worst call sign ever.
Is it?
Yes.
I'd rather have Mayo than Jorts.
Okay. They're both terrible call signs.
All right. Yahir's got to sort out this camera because it's just broken all the time.
It's just turning off randomly.
Yep.
It's not even dying.
Yeah, we know.
No.
No. Interesting.
Huh.
Interesting events.
No. No.
Just throw up the next people we're guessing while you work on it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Monster is a great call sign.
Monster.
I don't think I could live up to that call sign name, to be honest.
Dude, did you see a new Godzilla movie?
I did not.
Got announced yesterday.
You're hyped.
I'm so excited. Monster movies are just one of those things that just like fell out of favor. And I'm so excited are back.
Two forwards this time. One with 12 games played, 5 goals, 1 assist for 6 points, a plus 1 and a slightly under 50% Corsi. The other 9 games played, 2 goals and 4 assists for 6 points, minus 4 with a solid 53% Corsi. Who would you choose, Chat?
Yeah, and this is one. This is the one where you have a really interesting conversation of how valuable are goals to you.
Yep.
Because it's very valuable to have a goal scorer, but limited in assists. The Corsi's like fine.
Not
like
gonna 40, kill you.
49.2. Like I look at 49 the same way that I look at 51. Like yeah. you're.
In
within
the
margin, yeah, you're within the margin of where you want to be. It's fine. It's really just not that big of a deal. And then the second one, we do have plus minus on here.
Yep.
Because I wanted plus minus specifically because last week when people were throwing a huge fit about Alex Newhook, they were like, he's a 30% in the faceoff circle and he's a -4, -5 or whatever it was last week. And it was like, oh my gosh, like, is this really that important to you? Like the negative, we've now once again walked back into plus minus. Like, okay.
What it indicates to me is the level of competition between these two players and what situations they might be deployed in. There might be high danger situations that the second player is used in more often than this first. And I also saw a sneak peek at who the left player was, which also influences why I would pick the right hand player.
This is also why, like, when you talk about early season results, if a guy gets out of the gate slowly, you don't necessarily want to bury him. But if a guy gets out of the gate really hot, you don't necessarily want to. I mean, we had the Logan O'Connor second line player conversation last year.
Yeah.
We shouldn't have to. I shouldn't really have to remake this point, but I think we're just gonna do it anyway.
Is the poll up, Yaya?
Okay. 68% player two.
Yeah. Pretty dominant.
Yeah, and I told you that I thought this it was gonna go this way.
Yeah.
Because the Corsi was in their favor.
It yep. matters, yeah.
By enough points that you're like, huh. Okay.
I have not seen anyone come even close to guessing player one.
Yeah. Not yet.
Give him another, like, 30 seconds.
The people who have guessed Arturi Lekkonen on the right side are on the right track.
Doing well.
Yeah.
Let me know when to end the poll as well, please.
Will in a sec here.
Yeah. We'll give you guys a couple more seconds to throw in some player A guesses or player one guesses, but...
I'll give you both of the... Actually, I don't know who is on the right-hand side for sure. But I'm assuming Lekkonen on the right track is Lekkonen.
Yes.
Okay, then I can tell people a hint that they have both played for the Colorado Avalanche.
It's true.
In their careers.
That's an accurate statement.
Yeah.
It's going to be an interesting one. I think chat will be surprised when this gets revealed. All right, what are the percents, Yaya?
I haven't changed.
Same percents? Okay.
Let's just roll with it. Yep. You can go ahead and close that poll.
Nico Sturm has 5 goals on the season.
Yeah. All the people guessing Nazem Kadri.
Yep. I saw some Berkeys in there, too.
Yeah. I saw Matthew. Yeah, there was a Matthew Shane right at the end. Yep.
What the fuck?
It's, I think, so obviously, like, this is a hot streak for Sturm, who we saw score, what, 1 goal in Colorado? Through his time in the regular season.
I don't even know, man.
And none in the playoffs.
Yeah, he was rough.
I mean, he technically sort of scored a goal off Cogliano's shin, but...
It was his knee.
Yeah. It didn't count as Sturm's goal. A couple of conversations here. I don't think anyone in the chat's going to believe Nico Sturm's going to keep this up.
Yeah, the people who voted for Nico Sturm in that poll, I bet right now we're like, I would much rather have Arturi Lekkonen than Nico Sturm as a player.
Yep. I think almost every single one. But another interesting conversation, and Megan started to dig into this on the Corsi, where it's about deployment to a certain extent about high danger chances, but it's also, go look at San Jose's Corsi 4 as a team.
Not
very good. So it's going to be harder for someone like Sturm to get that number moving in the right direction on a team that is, I think they're currently tied for worst in the league right now. So you do have to take context into account when it comes into these players too.
And there's a reason that we limited it. I didn't want to get into Ozone and D-Zone starts.
Right.
I didn't want to put time on ice on there to give people, you know.
A little... look into it.
Yeah, I didn't. We're because again, Alex Newhook being the genesis of this conversation was. Yaya's having a tough day.
He's having a rough one.
I just want to give him a hug.
Me too.
This sucks, man. It's really the point, you know, just slow starts, right? They're tough. They're tough, but they're not forever. Guys do have a lot of season left to turn things around.
Yeah.
It's back.
One, there's a lot of time. Two, and everyone does this. We do this too. When people bring up advanced statistics, remember that advanced statistics are meant to be looked at as a big picture.
Yeah,
you're supposed to look at the entire. If you want to claim something, you can find an advanced that will prove whatever you're trying to say in a vacuum.
Yeah, I mean, I had somebody tweet at me the last week that Alex Newhook has 3 goals in his last 58 games, including the postseason. And it was like, okay, like, fair enough if you're only looking at goal scoring. If you remove the postseason from the equation where he averaged about 10 minutes of ice time and was not even consistently in the lineup, you go back into last season. It definitely, he had 3 goals in the last couple months of the season.
Yep.
But he also had, I think, 17 assists in that time, something like that.
The production was still
there.
And
the point per game pace that he was on, again, not including the postseason, put him right at 38 points.
Yep.
Which, that's lower than we want.
Sure.
Certainly lower than what the Avs want.
His rookie year, but.
Yep. But Newhook will not be an Av. I don't know where he's going to go.
That's a really weird choice, given that the Avs are going to be losing players like JT Compher in the offseason.
Yeah. I don't. Hey, maybe he's part of a huge trade package for somebody super dope.
Nothing's impossible.
Yeah. Whatever. But anyway, the point is that, like, slow starts, man. That
I do want to throw this to Megan, because AJ and I can sit here and talk about advanced statistics all day, but I'm curious your view on this. How deeply invested are you into advanced statistics compared to things like eye tests?
Man, I feel like, and this is my imposter syndrome talking, but I feel like it's hard for me to point to one thing being the best choice for me to lean into. I feel like it's a combination of both because of how I came into hockey. It's not like I grew up playing from a young age. Otherwise, I think eye test would be something that I lean into more. So I think I, because of my path to hockey, rely on both. And I do agree that even though I'm novice with advanced statistics, it is best understood over time. And to use a combination of both, which is such a cop-out answer, but I think it is a reflection of how I view the game, too.
I mean, you can call it a cop-out answer if you want, but it's the right answer.
Yeah, I mean, anybody that tells you that they only use one is giving you bad information.
Yeah, for sure.
Because they're only telling you one side of the story. You do need to watch somebody play hockey to understand their style and how they fit and how they play the game and all that. But then you do, you know, the reality is that hockey is too complicated. It is too fast. There's too much that goes into it for a human brain to just process all of that info.
Yep.
Just, oh, I've taken all of it in. I have processed everything, and it's that I can accurately tell you everything about every single player out there. If you're just watching the one, maybe you can. But I always tell people, watch a game sometime and try and keep your own box score for every player.
It's impossible.
And tell me, like, at the end of the game, you've written nothing down because you can't use any numbers. This is just the eye test. The pure eye test, and tell me who had the most shots on goal. Tell me who did what. What were the goals and assists? Just without looking at a box score, without doing any of that, just get to that. They're not going to non-tender. They are not going to not extend a qualifying offer to Alex Newhook.
His qualifying offer is, like, literally
It's like it's
1 mil basically. Yeah, like,
it can't be any higher than $1 million.
Yeah, so
they're not going to not give him. He's a bust. Okay, we're done.
You're just feeding the troll now. While the cameras dies again, we are brought to you by Breckenridge Brewery, the official beer of DNVR. You can get yours online. No, you can't buy it online, but you can find it online at your local liquor store. Use the Breck Beer Locator at breckbrew.com. Of course, you can also get it down here at the DNVR bar. I don't want to spoil anything. I'm probably not allowed to spoil anything, but word on the street is some pretty cool stuff is coming up in the next couple weeks here.
So. I mean, we're what, like announcing on Tuesday? We can tease it. It's fine.
Yeah.
Some cool stuff is coming up this month. You're going to want to be a DNVR member to be able to be part of the cool stuff that's coming up this month.
That. So be sure to get on that. Go get yourself a DNVR membership. We're also brought to you by Green Mountain Dental Group, the best family dentist in the Denver metro area. You can get in there, get a cleaning, x-ray, and an exam. And when you get all that done, you get a free Sonicare toothbrush from Green Mountain Dental. They're great at what they do. They're great at making sure you stay on top of taking care of your teeth. So check them out. Just 15 minutes from downtown over in Lakewood. Third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook.
This is just sympathy for Yaya right now.
Straight up. I feel terrible for Yaya.
Because this doesn't make any like logical sense.
Things are just breaking, and he has to do like 85 shows today. He also made all these graphics for us.
Yeah.
Hi, chat. We're back.
I sent him this huge message at like midnight with all the stuff, and I was like, these are the graphics that we want with all these numbers on it.
Rough life and out here.
Yeah.
All right. Now that Yahir's got the camera working, put up another graphic.
I will say, somebody asked, at what point do you call him a bust? I'm not calling anybody a bust before 200 games played.
I don't know that. He's already proven he's an NHL caliber player.
Yeah.
And for anyone drafted outside of the top 10, that's not a bust.
And the people that have called him, oh, he's the next Jost. Like, he's already scored more points in a season than Tyson Jost ever has.
By, like, a lot.
Yeah, he has a 33-point season in his
Tyson Jost's career high is what?
I think 27.
26, 27? Okay. Okay. Megan, anything to add there?
No, I think there's a joke to be made about the eye test and the camera going out.
Oh, God. There's way too good of a joke in there. Try to watch a hockey game blind. Do it by feel.
Seriously, I would challenge anybody that is strictly a nerds are, you know, the nerds are taking over sports. All you need is the eye test. Tell me a box score after a game. Watch the game and just tell me. Don't even worry about shots on goal. Don't worry about how many saves a goalie has. Just tell me who had the goals and the assists. That is it. No going back and watching replays. No getting any outside help. Can you do it?
Two players on the screen here. Player A, 8 games, 1 goal, 1 point, minus 11, nearly 50% Corsi. Player B, 9 games, 1 goal, 1 point, plus 4, also nearly 50% Corsi.
The line is all made in Taiwan. They're not made in China.
Which line?
The guy quoting Armageddon in our chat. It's all made in Taiwan.
How many times have you watched that movie?
A lot.
Just checking.
Yeah. To know that off the top of my head, yeah.
Street Fighter background. Yeah. I guess that's probably Mortal Kombat, not Street Fighter.
Yeah.
Street Fighter, actually. Okay. They're all the same to me. I was a Tekken kid, so... Megan?
Yeah, he showed it to me. He showed it to me, and I said, oh, a Street Fighter background.
Megan, can you guess these players?
Forwards?
They are forwards.
Nice. Yes. Nice.
So, Chad has figured out who player B is.
Yeah.
Which
I knew, Huck.
We've spent the entire show talking about him, you knew he was coming.
Mostly focused on seeing if you guys can figure out who player A is.
Yeah.
And whether you're voting for player A or new Hook.
Oh, and that's supposed to be a minus 4. That might have been my bad.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah, so that's the player B is supposed to be a minus 4. Did you open up the poll?
Yep, it's been up. So far, we have
So Newhook dominating.
This was gonna be my. I knew this was gonna be my home run.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
Interesting. Is player A an Avs player?
No,
he has played for the Avs.
Fantastic. There's.
Man, y'all are just like dissing on people's names.
I know. I'm going to say people and it's an insult. Oh, Ryan O'Reilly. That's a great guess. Ryan O'Reilly.
Yeah, giving it away that he was a former Av.
Yeah.
And honestly, we talked about deployment a lot and that influences how I read plus minus at the present. So.
Yeah. It is.
Indeed. It is Ryan O'Reilly.
Ryan O'Reilly. And.
So 73% on a blind look, 73% just picked Alex Newhook over Ryan O'Reilly.
They picked the bust. I won't let it go. I'm sorry.
And consider that this is a contract year for Ryan O'Reilly.
Yep.
It's not like he just got a big shiny new deal. They have not committed to him. So yeah, it was blind. Chat picked player B as Newhook immediately.
Yep.
I think intuitively everybody knew.
Yeah, like,
and
we don't want.
And you picked Alex Newhook against someone you didn't know.
Exactly.
Unless you're Ron Weasley who knew, but
yeah.
The rest of you didn't know.
Yeah.
and in seeing their faces, I'm a big Alex Newhook guy. Never in a million years are you taking that dude over Ryan O'Reilly.
Yeah, even at the stage of their careers, like you look at what Ryan O'Reilly does, and the defensive excellence, the face-off excellence, it's a perfect complement to what Nathan MacKinnon does on your top line. Like he would be the ultimate 2C for you, which has kind of been the thing most of his career is that it's a good thing they won the cup when they got hot and had that year that they had. Because Ryan O'Reilly, otherwise as a number one center, we've seen the Blues don't go deep in the postseason, ever. Like they,
yep.
He's really just not. He really just is not a true like top guy, and hey, at 31, maybe we're seeing that he's really taken enough of a step back. That he's really the true, like, now we're having the 2C conversation for real.
Yeah.
But also, it's so early, and he's been so productive for so long that you're not looking at Ryan O'Reilly and being like,
this dude's not about to score 15 points this year.
Yeah, like, he's not on his way to a 20-point season here. So,
Megan, you've had to guess at most of these players. What's the experience been like for you from your side of it?
It's been revealing that you just have to take the beginning of the season with a grain of salt for all of these players. Like Ryan O'Reilly is a good reflection of how we wouldn't expect the rest of his season to play out with this lack of production the same way. And there's something to be said for Newhook, who is untested, unproven, just not knowing what comes next for the rest of the season for a young player like Newhook. If we can expect Ryan O'Reilly to better because we know we have familiarity with him as a player, I think there's an advantage to the unfamiliarity with Newhook and just not knowing what to expect with him.
I can hear the coaches like all panicking in unfamiliarity being positive.
Look, not everyone gets a crystal ball. Sometimes you have to lean into not knowing.
It's
a clean slate. That's Newhook's runway for him to do with it what he can.
And I do think Newhook will continue to get that opportunity. But it's been interesting this year how we've seen so many different situations. Marco Rossi, whatever you want to call it, what's happening with Martin Kaut. The kid just the other day who played like 5 minutes. Who am I forgetting?
Well,
I forget who. But anyway, it's come up on Twitter four or five different teams this year with like, this head coach is playing the rookie 4 minutes a night.
Robinson getting a healthy scratch in Toronto.
Shane Wright in Seattle.
Yeah, Shane Wright.
And Shane Wright, that whole situation in Seattle where it's like, what are you even doing with him?
Just send him back to the OHL? Yeah. Point being, NHL head coaches often don't see the unfamiliarity as opportunity.
Yeah, they don't like the unpredictability. They want a baseline from a guy, and young players are inconsistent, and they don't have that established. That's why they like guys with 100 games played.
Yep.
You know, like they just magically have 100 games, and they're like, oh, okay, well, that makes him an NHL player. Like, yeah.
I mean, we can argue the substantiation of that all we want, but
yeah,
it's a weird reality because it's not like, oh, it's just these few coaches. Every single NHL coach is this way. Every single one. There isn't a single one that will tell you, yeah, I'm going to YOLO this random kid. And you know, sometimes you'll get a kid that's just too good, a Cale Makar, where it's like, yeah, he's insane. We have to play him.
Yeah.
But for anyone that doesn't immediately live up to that hype, you see their minutes get cut.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and certainly Newhook's usage this year has been frustrating.
Yep.
Well, you watch that split. You know, Evan Rodriguez, a 27-minute
game. Newhook's playing 12.
Yeah. And you're just like, can you balance some of this a little bit more? So certainly that's been a disappointment to start the year, that Newhook is basically getting the same minutes that he did last year. And certainly it's not to say that he's been so good he's demanded more.
For sure.
But also, if you're trying to get this guy to play a bigger role for you,
you have to actually give him the role.
You have to try to give him the bigger role. And giving him 3 games at the start of the year, like, come on. Yeah,
not enough. Okay, we have one more for you here. This one is not players.
It's teams.
This one is teams. Three teams. Team A, 3.1 goals for, 3 goals against, a +1 goal differential, slightly negative shots against and for. Team B, essentially the same, just flip the goals for and against, a -1 goal differential, very, very strong possession advantage.
Mm-hmm.
And then Team C, a little bit lower goal scoring on both ends, but an even goal differential. And then good but not great possession metrics.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think a lot of people are going to guess these teams.
Maybe not right off the bat.
Yeah,
I got one of them right away, and then the sort other of. Ones I didn't know. I got one of them immediately. Yeah.
Is one Boston?
No.
Nope.
Is one Buffalo?
Nope. No.
Okay.
Yeah. This was more of just an interesting, I thought it was.
Yeah.
With 21 votes, they're tied at 33%.
Nice.
Nice.
All of these teams are tied.
Yeah. I also thought it was Tampa Bay. That was my guess. My first guess was Tampa as well.
You'd be wrong.
Is one Winnipeg?
Nope.
Cool.
No, that one would be deep in the negative for the shots.
Yep. I've seen some right answers. They're not really right.
Yeah. I've seen the teams in the wrong spot.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's it. Wow, this dude was in my brain. I also guessed the Rangers.
That is AJ. AJ in another dimension.
Megan, we're going to make you guess first. I know you've been guessing, but
I know.
What is this, like a racetrack? Is that what the background is supposed to be?
Who would you choose? I have to guess who I would choose of these.
You can guess a team, or you can choose whichever one you want.
Okay.
Either way.
I don't know if my brain is starting to shut down.
Melt. It's melting.
It's starting to melt.
Yeah. I mean, this is really, really hard to do unless you're really looking at standings every single day and looking at these types of things.
Yep.
Trying to do this completely blind is a, I mean, I,
which is kind of the point that we're trying to make.
That's exactly the point we're trying to make.
I like Team B.
Team B. When are you guys ready
to end
the
poll?
Now.
Yeah, go ahead and end that poll. See what we got.
41% for Team B. Team A got 32%. Team C got 25%.
All right.
Ready for the
Rio? Send them. Team A is the Avs. Team B is Florida. And Team C is the Leafs.
Yikes.
Fun.
It, well, I think it's an interesting conversation because, one, the Avs today are the worst in the standings of those three teams. Now, part of that is they've just played less games.
Yeah.
But still true. Florida is a team that's been dominant in possession and doesn't have a ton to show for it.
They're it's more, a negative in goal differential.
Yeah. And then the Leafs, which is a team whose fan base has been melting down for the most of the start of the season.
Full blown.
Just total.
Five alarm fire Bursey going on there.
Burning jerseys level.
Yeah.
Is actually pretty fine. Like, they're pretty squarely in the middle of the pack.
Yeah.
With the rest of these teams. So,
they're in no real trouble.
Yeah.
Standings wise. Like, they're. Like, Vancouver's maybe the only team that you look at.
Yeah.
That had playoff aspirations, and you say they're in real trouble.
Yep.
Right now, I don't think any of them are.
Agreed.
But that's kind of the point that, that we're making.
That's exactly the point.
It's kind of the point. It's kind of the overarching point of today's entire show is that October is finished. Great.
Yep.
The Avs are not dominating. They are, I would say that they're not really in trouble.
Look, the cliche phrase applies. You can't make the playoffs in October. You can certainly lose the playoffs in October. And the Avs did not lose the playoffs in October.
Yeah, they're not in a bad spot. I think they're even still in a wild card spot, like right now, having not played in a week.
I think they would be out of the wild card because the Pacific would have them. Again, only because every team in the league has played more than nine games because the Avs have had 5 days off. So,
the Avs are 1 point out of a playoff spot right now.
Yep, with games in hand on almost everybody in the West. So,
yeah. Well, the one team that they're chasing, Calgary, actually has a game in hand on Colorado.
But not too worried about it.
Fucking possible. What's with Calgary and St. Louis only have eight games?
And San Jose has played 12.
Yeah. So have the Kings.
Such a weird schedule this year. Anyway.
We say that every year about the schedule where it's just really messed up.
We thought that was a fun little experiment. One, to show don't take statistics too seriously, especially early in the year.
Oh, were they 4-5-1 last year? Shit, dude.
Two.
I didn't know that.
Two, to show good and bad starts happen. Sometimes they can be indicative of their future. Sometimes they're not indicative of their future at all.
Yeah.
It's hard to.
The point being, we don't need to draw strong conclusions from 3 weeks of hockey.
SSS.
Yeah. Well, because we always break the season down in 10-game samples.
Yep.
But the first 10, people always make the most out of the first 10 and the last 10. And it's the middle 60 that everybody is just like, yeah, well, you know, these things happen and it is what it is, you know. But it's the first 10 games you're like, oh, my God. Or, wow, we're going to win the cup. Or the last 10 games, a championship team doesn't just slide into the playoffs looking like this. Or, wow, they're just getting hot at the right time. They're a dangerous team. You have to look out for them.
In the end, nothing matters. We all die, and entropy will eventually destroy everything.
Yeah, I mean, we're all headed for an inevitable heat death of the planet.
Megan, you want to end us on a more positive note than that?
No, we're to begin with that. I don't, your call sign, I don't know what it is, but it's not Monster anymore. Reaper.
Sad boy.
Sad boy.
Okay. Any final thoughts or are we out of here?
I feel like we should revisit the conversation about utilization later, not on this pod, with young players, how it happens around the league, opportunities, and that sort of thing. I feel like it's a worthy conversation for a different pod.
I heard the Avs have a whole nother week off after this weekend, so.
Because yeah, I think we're going to see.
The Marco Rossi thing is really like.
It's something.
There is a young player who's averaging Curtis McDermott minutes.
Yep.
I can't remember who it is.
That's who I was trying to think of too.
It's pissing me off. But it's like,
what are you doing?
This is NHL coaches do this shit.
Yep. The Jost conversation also going from he's their first line center in Minnesota to he's a scratch.
And then
what is Dean Evason doing?
He just had an assist on a Kirill Kaprizov goal the other day.
It's all over the place out there.
Talk about not being able to fit into a role. You go from he's on the first line, he's scratched, he's on the fourth line. That guy is just
ping-ponging
all over the place.
Anyway, we hope you all enjoyed this one. Had a little bit of fun with the polls. We will be back tomorrow, pregame, postgame, watch along, early morning.
Oh, yeah, that is tomorrow, isn't
nooner,
it?
Nooner game because it's in Finland where it's on at like 9 p.m., that local. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, we hope to see you there, and until then, we will talk to you on the next one.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.